stands back.
Morning, guys.
Yo,
that's a bit loud. If you weren't awake, you're awake now. Before I start, this gentleman here is a Jeff. Jeff, before service, I was looking at you now. Feel that maybe in your life you felt that the race that what God had set out for you or planned for you didn't quite happen as you prepared for it or planned for it. And there might have been a bit of a sense of disappointment. But God reminded me of a story of an athlete. I can't remember his name. I think I might be under correction. It's Eric Little. I'm going back in the 1920s. It was he trained for the 100 meters and the 220 meters. And when he went to the Olympics, he found out that the 100 meters, which was his best item, that he knew, he was certain he was going to win it, was going to happen on a Sunday morning. And because he's a believer, he dedicated the Sundays to God. He said, I can't run that race. So he was quite disappointed about it. But what he decided to do, and I think shocked everybody, he decided that he was going to do the 220 meters and the 400 meters, which he never trained for. So he ran the 220 meters and he got a bronze medal for that. And before the race started for the 400 meters, one of the team members or somebody came to him and they gave him a little note. And the note said, because you honored me, God says, I will honor you. Eric Little went and he ran at 400 meters and he won gold, item which he never practiced for. Afterwards, the people said, the newspaper said, they've never seen an athlete like this because the way he ran was so untidy and they called him the ugliest runner in history. It was effective for him. But, so I feel God is going to say, listen, your race is still running ahead of you. It's still ahead of you. It might not look pretty. The way you do it might look untidy, but God's got a plan and this destiny for you. Trust in him. He will reveal it to you. He said, because you've honored me, I will honor you, says the Lord. Yeah. Behind you, Phil. I had a picture you standing and you were surrounded by broken eggshells. And I said, Lord, what on earth does this mean? And now, normally when you have eggshells, you say, tread lightly on eggshells. And I felt God saying, you know what? Those eggshells have got a dual purpose. Number one is that it sounds like an alarm bell. As when something comes close, you'll be able to hear it. It's like, you know, when you set a trap, like a booby trap, you might have put broken glass or something. When somebody walks in it, you'll hear it. And God says, you know what? Your life is on those eggshells. It represents an alarm bell. When the enemy comes close, you'll be able to hear it. It will set off a trigger, and you'll be aware of the schemes of the enemy. And I believe God's saying, you know what? You've got a lot in you. What he has installed in you has got the enemy running. The enemy cannot get close to you because every time we get close to you, the alarm bells will go off. So don't even focus on the enemy, says God. Focus on me. And I'm your provider. I'm the one that leads you. The enemy cannot touch what God has set forth in your life. Bam. Beginning of a service, you're sitting in the back row and you were chatting to a lady. And I just had a picture of God coming behind you and he was pouring out a whole jug of oil over you, and it was just drenching you. And I believe he's saying, there's so much that he's installed you, but I believe that he's wanting to refresh you with more joy, more peace in your life. And I actually just saw, you know, like that story in Psalms of God pouring oil over Aaron and is running down his beard. I believe God is saying that what he's pouring on you is going to soak you up. Wherever you're going to go, you can't get rid of it. It's going to ooze out of you. And when you touch other people's lives, it will transfer onto you. And I believe that transference mainly is talking about unbelief people. Your days are not over. God is going to put people on your path that you're going to lead to the Lord. But I just say it was just such a beautiful picture of him pouring out his anointing oil all over you this morning. So please, God says, receive it. Receive it. Soak it up. The days are still coming. Right. We are in a new year. And what happens around about this time of year? It happens every year. New Year's resolutions. And I didn't want to just give a message that falls into the same cliche of New Year's resolutions, because 90% of those things never, ever happen. We have all the best intentions, the best motivations. We start off so well, and as time fizzles on, those New Year's resolutions are forgotten. And we say, oh, maybe next year. I believe God is wanting to tilt the scales this year. That what he wants to do with you as individuals and as a church will tilt the scales, that what he has for you will never run out. It will never dry up. That this year you will just run strong and get stronger and stronger. So if I can word my message, it will be, what do you see? We all see, we all got eyes. When we look around, we are blessed with eyesight. We can see things around us. And what I can't see at the moment is my message opening. So just bear with me, please. There you go. It's always amazing when you work on technology and it doesn't work, you go in a panic mode. What I want to insult you and you is a hope. In God is a hope. You know, hope is such a beautiful thing. Hope as believers is what keeps us going. And then I think sometimes New Year's resolutions can be a bit like that. We make New Year's resolutions and you know what? I hope it's going to be a better year for us. But you know what? Hope is a funny thing. If you don't have hope, it's a scary thing. I remember, I think I've told the story before, when I was in hospital after my accident, I remember looking into the eyes of a person that had a similar accident as me. And what I saw shocked me. Because what I saw was no hope. The person had given up on life. And he subsequently passed away. No hope means there's no life. If there's no hope, you perish. And I believe God said, you are not of those that are called to perish. You are called of those that have got a destiny. And he's got a plan and purpose for you. Open your Bibles, please, at 1 Timothy 1 for me. I'm reading verse 12 to 14. The heading is glory to God for his grace. Ask yourself the question, where would you be today without his grace in your life? Harvey and I were just chatting before the service, and there are so many things in our lives that happen, and we don't see it as the grace of God in our lives. Sometimes it's bad things, but it's just God's way of protecting us. And when you look back at it, you realize it's actually God that is hand on our situation. So verse 12, it says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. When I read this, I had a pause and I said, you know what, it says that God found Paul faithful. I think, but it doesn't make sense. I mean, how did God on earth could this be? How on earth did God find Paul faithful? Because the story we have of Paul is, this is talking before his ministry. The story we had of Paul is of Paul persecuting the believers. Paul rushing into their house, breaking down doors, gathering up, throwing them into prisons. Paul taking him, actually leading to their death as well. Causing havoc in the new found church of God. So how on earth did God find him faithful? It says, he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. God found him faithful, then put him into the ministry. Something here doesn't line up. Something here doesn't make sense. So we had to go back and dig a bit and see what actually, where on earth and when, at what point did God find Paul faithful that he appointed him into ministry. So while Paul was still persecuting the church, somewhere along the line, God must have looked and said, that's my boy. I love him. Doesn't make sense, does it? While the church was running the opposite direction, God says, that is my boy. I love him. He is faithful. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 18 says this, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. It clearly speaks of the visible and invisible things. I said earlier, we all see, but there are things on this earth that we cannot see with our natural eyes. There are things that we have to see with our spiritual eyes. God counted Paul faithful, yet he was persecuting the church. But God saw something in him that maybe you and I can't see. You and I, when we see Paul, we run in the opposite direction. And God says, no, that's my son. I love him. I count him faithful. So how does this make sense? Where does this picture line up? How can you marry this picture of a person persecuting the church, leading people to a death, to being count faithful in God's eyes? Romans 1 verse 20 says this, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." It's saying here that from the creation of time, from the beginning of time, God says, what I've created, those things, he says, by those things you will see what my plans and my purposes are. He says, well, since the creation of this world, these invisible attributes can clearly be seen and understood by the things that were created. By the things that were created in the Garden of Eden, God says, you can see those things. Now I can see you guys are all looking confused at me. Hang on, hold on. I'll explain to you. Now we're still talking about Paul here. How do we marry up this picture? So let's go back. Let's go back to the Garden of Eden. We imagine we get all, I think the guy was Emmett Brown, Dr. Emmett Brown, from Back to the Future. He had this time machine, getting to him, we're typing in. We're going back to the Garden of Eden. So we're all on board and we arrive here. So we are standing outside of the Garden of Eden. So I'm asking, what do you see? Maybe you see these beautiful trees that God created, all different colors, all different sizes. Some of them might even be shining with the glory of the Lord. Now I'm taking you back to a time before sin entered. This is right in the beginning. So we're standing here, we see all these beautiful things. Now perhaps if we're lucky, we can see a bit further, we can see some animals. I know I love the Kruger Park, and when you are still at the gates of the park, the kids are trying to say, can we see any animals yet in it? So maybe we're still standing outside, we've seen the trees, now we're looking for some animals in it. And can we spot some animals? Maybe you're lucky and see some. Maybe if you're even luckier, you can spot Adam and Eve walking around in the garden. Imagine what a picture that would be if we could be transported and see that today. How God created everything in the glory that he had meant it to be. So now we enter the garden. See some beautiful trees, beautiful plants, all different sizes. We come across some vegetables, beautiful. Walk a bit further, we see a peach tree. We say, wow, those peaches look wonderful. We take one and say, we can't see what's inside. We say, but this looks good. So we bite it into it, we eat it. And we quickly discover, hey, there's something else inside this peach tree. We take a bit of time, we look at the animals that we saw. We think, you know what, if this is a seed inside, this seed, when planted, create more peach trees. Maybe the same concept works for animals. Maybe God has put something inside the plant or the animals that birth forth. We can't see the future generations of the animals yet, but maybe God has put something in them that will lead to future generations. Then we look at Adam and Eve. Still considering the speech I'm eating and what's inside of it. Maybe God has put something in them that will lead to future generations. As you meditate on this, what it's saying is that the invisible things of God can be seen from which has been made from creation. Everything that we see around us, every human being, every plant, every animal had its birth from creation. Every peach that I'm eating now came from those first peach trees and they multiplied as people maybe ate the seed and planted it or threw it somewhere and it grew. Every puppy that you're holding, newborn puppy that you're holding, gave birth in the Garden of Eden. Every single human being, as we sit here, came from Adam and Eve. We see that every egg-sperm combination has potential destiny. That is why abortion is so evil in God's eyes. Because you're not just killing one person. You're killing multiple generations. seed that God had a destiny for. I'm not going to go into that, but just think for yourself, that seed, that child that was aborted, God had a plan and destiny for. You're ending generations when you do that. 2 Timothy 1 verse 9 says this, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Which was given to us before time began. Before God said, let it be. Those promises, the promises he had for us, the promises he had for Ronnie, Phil, Doug, Tony. Those promises were given in Christ Jesus before time began. Before Jesus, God said, let it be. He had a plan and purpose for each one of us. You are not sitting here by accident. You've got a plan and purpose. God has ordained you for this exact hour, this exact time. His heart had already had a grace and purpose for your life. But how do we look at our lives? How do you see your life? My question is, what do you see? The invisible things of God are clearly seen by what he has made. There are invisible things in you that God has made that you are not seeing at this moment. And I want to challenge you guys. We all look at the outer. There are things planted in you that God has ordained that you haven't tapped into yet. There are potentials in you that are still lying undiscovered. Like I said to Jeff earlier, there's a race that he's still going to run. You might not see it now, but God says it is there. So I'm coming back to Paul now. When God says, I counted him faithful and put him in ministry. What God's saying is here, before time began, I saw Paul. I said, that is my boy. Irrespective, he might be killing people now, he might be persecuting the church, I see what is inside of him. I see what the natural eye doesn't see yet. So when God sees you, he doesn't look at you with the natural eyes. He sees what you cannot see yet. Michelangelo was given a block of marble. Before he started, he had this quote. He says, I saw the angel in the marble and I carved until I set it free. I saw the angel in the marble and carved until I set it free. And God is saying, I see you. I'm carving on you. And what is inside of you, I want to set free today. So we're still in the garden. We're walking. We have just had a peach. And I walk along and I stumble across something. I see, wow. It's a watermelon. I love watermelons. I mean, a lot of my formative years I spent in Namibia. Family had a farm there and they grew watermelons. And for me, you know, you take a watermelon, you throw it in the dam late afternoon. You don't even cut it. You just crack it open on the ground and you enjoy the watermelon. But you know what? That watermelon has got infinite possibilities, infinite destinies hidden within inside of it. One of the destinies is just to eat it. You can take it open, cut it open, eat it, get all the peels together, and throw it away, what is discard the rest. It has fulfilled this destiny. But maybe there's another destiny. As a child, I discovered this destiny. When you eat the watermelon, there's a lot of seed, a lot of pips in it. And one of the destinies I enjoyed doing, my brother and myself, we started spitting these pips at each other. Boys loved it, but the minute you started spitting at the girls, they were horrified, and you got yourself into trouble. So there's another destiny for a watermelon. You can spit the pips out if you want to. Discard it that way. As I got a bit older, I loved vegetable gardens. I planted my own vegetable garden. And one of the things I planted was watermelons. And I watched him grow. I couldn't wait for him to be ripe enough to pick. And I grew myself a few watermelons. So from just one watermelon, maybe you eat some. You said, listen, hang on, let me keep some seed. I'm going to plant my own little patch. Had enough for the neighbors as well. Went and blessed them with a watermelon. That's another destiny for a watermelon. Or maybe when you're old, you say, you know what, there's such a potential. Why must I keep on buying watermelons? Maybe I can sell watermelons to other people. I hire a patch of ground outside this town. I employ some people. I grow lots of watermelon. Supply all the local produce shops. Maybe ship some off all over the country. Look at the potential of the watermelon there. Look at the destiny of that particular watermelon. The potential and the destiny of the watermelon is in the vision of what you had for that watermelon. You can eat it and discard the rest. You can maybe spit some of it out away. Maybe grow enough just for yourself. Or maybe it is enough to bless others abundantly with as well. So I'm asking in the morning, what do you see? Those who've got your spouses next to you, look at your spouse. What do you see? Do you see a watermelon? You're going to get yourself into trouble here. What do you see when you look at your wife? When you look at your spouse? What do you see when you look at your children? What destiny, what potential do you see in them? What do you see in your own life? In your body, your health? In your career? What do you see in your finances? Do you see a destiny in any of those things? Or do you just see enough to eat now and just spit away or just to discard? Never have enough for the next day. Never see the blessing in your wife, in your children. God looked at Paul and counted him faithful. He was destroying the churches. God says, that is my boy. God didn't see the watermelon in Paul. He saw the seeds. He saw the potential in Paul. The many people that he was going to touch throughout the generations. God has got the same heart for each one of you. The potential hidden within you is, it will blow your mind. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has got prepared for those that love Him. But God says He will reveal it to them by His Spirit. What do you see in yourself today, I'm asking you? Are you just a watermelon? If you see yourself as a watermelon, your destiny will die with you. Your legacy will die with you. Or do you see the seed? Do you see the potential hidden within? When you look at your child, do you see the terrible twos or the little monster that's running around? Or do you see the destiny that God has got for him? Do you see the warrior of God standing in front of you? Because what you see in your child, what you see in this, is what you will sow into that life as well. If you see a terrible two, you will just moan, complain, and shout, and scream, and never install into the destiny that God has got for that child. What do you see when you see your children? When you see your unbelieving neighbor or family members, what do you see? Do you just see a watermelon? So I just discard the thing, get it away. There's no good that's going to come out of that. Or do you see the potential, the invisible potential that has not been revealed yet in that person? When you look at your marriage, is it strife? Is there bitterness? Resentment? If you look at those things, you just see the watermelon. God says, no. Get rid of those things. See the potential that I have for you. Finances is the same. So many people just eat all their seed. And there's nothing left. What are you sowing your finances into? A lot of people just give to a cause. They're not sowing, but giving and sowing are two different concepts. You will only sow into something if you really believe into it. A farmer sows the seed and he believes in the harvest. He can already see the harvest. What are you sowing your finances into? Are you sowing your finances as well? You will only sow into something if you believe in it, if you can see it. You guys are very quiet this morning. You will only sow into your child if you can see a harvest is coming. I agree, as a parent, you cannot see the full potential, the full destiny of your child. But you know what? I'm going to try as hard as I can to make sure that my child walks into the destiny that God has ordained for him. It is my job as a parent to blow wind into their sails. It is my job as a parent to sow into their lives. It is my job as a parent to see the seeds in them and not just to see them as a watermelon. Now you can say, Keith, you don't understand. You don't know my life. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I've faced in my life. You know what? We can all put our hands up. We all got battle scars. I've got many a story that I can share with you from childhood to adult. We cannot use that as an excuse. When a watermelon grows, it's going to have its bruises. It's going to have its imperfections. We don't look what is on the outside. We look at the hidden potential that is on the inside. Even if there's a bit of rot, that can be cut away. There is still potential for growth and grace inside that watermelon. So saying, having an excuse, you don't know my life, there's no hope for me. There's hope for you. There's a destiny for you. Even so more after you are born again. 1 Peter 1 verse 23 says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God which lives and abides forever. You've got uncorruptible seed within you as a born again believer. The enemy cannot steal it free, cannot corrupt it. You've got to bring it forth. What is your vision for your life? Have you got a vision for your life? Don't just look at your life as a watermelon. Start dreaming. Say, God, what is your destiny for my life? What legacy am I leaving behind? Bring forth in me, Lord, what you see. When you see it, look at me, Lord, are you saying, that is my boy, that is my girl? Because God is doing it. You might not be seeing it. Paul didn't see it at that stage. But God is seeing it in you. It is never too late. So why did I share this message with you? Part of the series that we're going through now is Ready, Are You Ready? We are a church on mission. But I'm asking you the question, what do you see? Because if you see your life as a watermelon, how on earth can you see the seeds and the potential and those that don't know God yet? If you can't settle this in your own heart, you've got a plan, a purpose, and a destiny that God has got that for you, that He's got grace upon your life. If you can't see it in your own life, how on earth can you see it in the lives of unbelievers? I think it's what Tony said, that the teaching will be very foundational today. You have to settle it in this yard. This has got to be your foundation, that God has got a plan and purpose for my life. There's something within me that hasn't birthed forth yet. And when it births forth, you better say, make way, make space, because I'm growing, I'm going forward, I'm building what God is. I want to walk into a destiny that God has got ordained for me. If you can't do it now, you cannot see it in the eyes of unbelievers. You cannot see it in your family members that don't serve God yet. Ask God to reveal, say, Lord, I'm tired. If you saw your life as a watermelon, this year, say, God, start sitting at the feet of at His feet. Say, Lord, reveal your plans and your purposes for me. Like I said, it's never too old. I know, I've heard of a man at the age of, I think it was 80 or 84, went to plant a church in China. There's another pastor planted a church in the South Coast somewhere. He's been leading a church for 15 years. He planted a church at the age of 65. So I'm seeing a lot of elderly people here. So how old are you? 86. Still got years ahead of you. A lot of wisdom in you. A lot of young people have forgotten the wisdom and the things that you have seen with your own eyes. God said, don't hold it back. If you don't share it, it's going to be forgotten. People today don't want to hear the stories of the old people, of those that went before us. It's so easy to put our grandfathers and grandmothers into old age homes today and forget about them. That's not a plan for God's family. It's to be together, share those stories with your family members. What do you see in your life? Watermelon or endless potential? Settle that. Because if you can't settle that, you can't be effective for God. Can we pray? Father, I want to thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for each person sitting here, Lord. And I get excited, Lord, when I look at them and I just think, Lord, of the destiny, Lord, that you have ordained for each one of them, Lord. Your word says, before time began, before you said, let it be, you had a plan and purpose for each person sitting here, Lord. And I pray, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, that you would start speaking to each person here, Lord, that as they seek your face, Lord, that you would reveal to them, Lord, the plans, purposes, and destinies that you have for them, Lord. Though they might not be walking in it yet, Lord, let this be the year, Lord, that they start walking into those destinies and the plans that you had for them, Lord. Lord, I pray your blessing upon them. I pray, Lord, every promise that you have for them, Lord, that you protect it in Jesus' name, Lord. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that this church will go forth, Lord. And I remember Cindy sitting earlier, you might say, oh, this little church hidden in Hilton. God says, no, you're not hidden. You are at the gateway of Pietermaritzburg. You guys are here for a plan and purpose. God has got big plans for you guys. But you, what is your vision for those plans? Have you got a vision? Start walking into this, Lord. Bless your children, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Keith, thanks so much for that wonderful message and that challenge to us as we go into 2020. We're not watermelons. We are the seed of God, and we're going to make a big impact in this community this year and in our lives. So we praise God for that. Thank you, Keith. We're going to be ending now with a song, a worship song. And during the worship song, we're just going to circulate the offering bags. If you're a visitor, don't feel compelled to give, but you may give if you'd like. And then thereafter, please feel free to join us for tea and coffee on the veranda. If anyone would like prayer for anything specific, you're also welcome to come forward and have prayer with the elders. All right.